this time, we'd like to ask our children to come forward for our children's moment. Oh, boy. How are you all doing this morning? Now, last week, we gave, I think, the bag to Liam, and he had to go home, so I think Miss Joyce's class filled this bag, is that correct? Okay, so who knows what we've got in here today? Oh. Oh, yes, all right. I'll hold it, okay? Do y'all know what this does? It makes a tornado, that's right. You got to spin it here better than I'm doing. There we go. Tornado. What does a tornado do? It's got a lot. Okay, thank you guys. It's got a lot of, not a hurricane, just a tornado. It's got a lot of wind to it, right? And it comes across like that, right? And they can be pretty dangerous, but you gotta watch out. Now, the passage we read today from Psalms 8 says, "What are human beings that you are mindful of them, the Son of Man that you care for them?" And this idea of God being mindful of us and taking great care for us. And we have these disasters and things that happen like tornadoes, and sometimes it doesn't seem like God is trying to help us or take care of us, right? But we know that God is in control and that, yeah, that's right. Yeah, okay, everyone sees it, good. So I'm talking about God, right? Okay, and he takes care of us even in the midst of the tornadoes and the storms of life. So I think we've exhausted all of the ability and attention that we have this morning. All right, so the thought to take away is that God loves us, and no matter what happens, God is there, okay? Now, who do we want to give the bag to this week? Well, no, you've had it way too many times. We're going to give it to Lincoln because he's only had it maybe a couple times. So there you go, Lincoln. So you got the bag, all right? Well, okay, I'll take that. There you go. All right, so let's pray. Close our eyes and bow our heads. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that you consider us and that you are mindful of us. We thank you that you take care of us in the midst of all of the things that come our way, Lord, the storms of life and the actual storms that pass. Lord, keep us mindful of your great love for us. Thank you for these children, for the opportunity we have to teach them, and the opportunity we have to learn from them. And we ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right. You all can go to Children's Church. Thank you, Miss Joyce. That was wonderful. All right, our scripture lesson this morning comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. This is a favorite scripture passage that was given to me last year, and I thought how appropriate to follow our talk last week and our sermon last week on 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and how this would kind of help supplement that some. And so today I want to read for us 1 Corinthians chapter 13, a very familiar passage, I'm sure, to most of us. Hear now the word of our Lord. If I speak in the tongues of human beings and of angels, but I don't have love, I'm a clanging gong or a clashing cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy, and I know all the mysteries and everything else, and if I have such complete faith that I can move mountains, but I don't have love, I'm nothing. If I give away everything that I have and hand over my own body to feel good about what I've done, but I don't have love, I receive no benefit whatsoever. Love is patient. Love is kind. It isn't jealous. It doesn't brag. It isn't arrogant. It isn't rude. It doesn't seek its own advantage. It isn't irritable. It doesn't keep a record of complaints. It isn't happy with injustice, but it is happy with the truth. Love puts up with all things, trusts in all things, hopes for all things, endures all things. Love never fails. As for prophecies, they will be brought to an end. As for tongues, they will stop. As for knowledge, it will be brought to an end. We know in part and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, what is partial will be brought to an end. When I was a child, I used to speak like a child, reason like a child, think like a child, but now that I have become a man, I've put an end to childish things. Now we see a reflection in a mirror, then we will see face to face. Now I know partially, but then I will know completely in the same way that I have been completely known. Now faith, hope, and love remain these three things, and the greatest of these is love. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray together. Gracious God, we thank you again for this day, for your great love and grace. We thank you for the reading and the hearing of this, your word. We pray that you'd be with the words you have given to me. May they be yours and not mine. May they open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, our hearts to receive, our minds to comprehend. And may we, in the strength of the bodies that you have given to us, be faithful to your call upon us. We ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It's one of those beloved passages, one that I'm sure most, if not all of us, are familiar with. It's right up there with John 3:16 and Psalm 23. Now, when do we typically hear 1 Corinthians chapter 13 being read? Weddings, right? Because 1 Corinthians 13 has got this sentimental aspect to it. And we read it and we think, And when I'm doing premarital counseling, I talk with couples, and I go through 1 Corinthians 13, because as you begin to read verse 4, all the sentimentality of 1 Corinthians 13 leaps out the window, and it's gone. It's no longer there. Paul has taken this idea of love that we cherish and that we all desire, and he's made it practical. It's no longer theoretical for Paul here in 1 Corinthians 13. He says love is patient in verse 4. Pfft, I'm done. I'm out. No thanks. Maybe next time. I want to do a little exercise this morning. We're going to insert your name where it says love in verses 4 through 8, or 4 through 7, and I'll just use my name, and you all use your names as you're hearing this. Matt is patient. Matt is kind. Matt isn't jealous. Matt doesn't brag. Matt isn't arrogant. Matt isn't rude. Matt doesn't seek his own advantage. Matt isn't irritable. Matt doesn't keep a record of complaints. Matt isn't happy with injustice, but Matt is happy with the truth. Matt puts up with all things, trusts in all things, hopes for all things, endures all things. Now, Abby will be the first to tell you that this is not a fair description of Matt. It's pretty close, but not all that it, stop it, not all that it should be. In seminary, we learn that context is everything. Seminary 101, context is everything. And so what does 1 Corinthians 13 tell us in light of all of the book of Corinthians? What does it tell us in light of the New Testament? What does it tell us in light of all of Scripture? Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 13 comes, of course, as you might suspect, right after 1 Corinthians 12. And if you'll remember last week as we looked at that, we considered what chapter 12 talks about. And it talks about power. The power of the Holy Spirit. It talks about the gifts of the Spirit. And right in chapter 13, right when we began, he started talking, if I have all of these gifts, if I have all nine gifts that I mentioned in chapter 12, but I don't have love, I'm nothing. I am no benefit to anyone whatsoever. And then in 1 Corinthians 14, he begins to apply love. He's made it practical. In chapter 13, he's taken all the sentimentality out of it, made it practical, and then 14, he begins to apply this. How is this going to look? And it was very important for him to do this for the Corinthian church. Now, I'm going to read some of the issues that the Corinthian church struggled with, and you tell me if this sounds familiar with other churches, certainly not here. Disunity, jealousy, and unforgiveness. This is the context with which Paul is writing, and he's telling us that love is important so that you can begin to mend these wounds that are there, and here's how you do it. Paul reminds the Corinthians, and he reminds us as we read this passage, that love is more important than any gift or talent we may possess. And that love is the most powerful thing there is. Without love, we are clanging cymbals, we are nothing, and we are of no benefit whatsoever. You see, love demands a sense of rhythm and continuity, right? It has to have this. We have to be in line and in step with our Creator in order to understand love and to know what love calls us to, because love is the very fabric of who God is. We're reminded in 1 John that God is love. And we need to be mindful, as we tend to over-sentimentalize chapter 13, that while God is love, love is not God. There's a huge difference there. Love is the fabric of who God is and the fabric of who we are and who He calls us to be. You see, love calls us to participate, right? And we saw that last week. We considered the gifts that were given by the Holy Spirit, and we're told that if we have these gifts, which we do, we are to use them for the common good, right? That's why we have them, for the benefit of others. Love calls us to participate, and we must find that rhythm. Now, Abby and I have, I think this is our third church that we've served together as a married couple. And every church is a little unique. Every church has its own rhythm, its own flow. Every community, right, has its own unique qualities to it. And so it becomes my responsibility to find out how to lead in the midst of that, right? What gifts of mine to use and what gifts maybe to refrain from. And after today, you'll probably wish I had refrained from another one. But we have to find that rhythm. When we love, we enter into the rhythm and the dance that God has for us. And when we talk of love, we speak about our very hearts and how they beat rhythmically. And how every time our heart beats, it's a reminder of God's great love for us. It's a reminder of how He has given us life and expects us to use that life for others. Now, we are the body of Christ, and because of this, we must love. We must find the unity and the rhythm of our community that God has called us to. And that's what love looks like. Now, the absence of love is also easily recognized, because if the heart beats and reminds us of God's love, then the absence of love would be silence. There would be no beating hearts. And it's easily recognized. The absence of love is frustrating, it's hurtful, and it's quite annoying. Some may say that the absence of love is as obnoxious as the clanging of cymbals. I don't care who you are, that's an annoying sound. Especially when it's just that. If it's in the context of something else, of faith, hope, and love, then it's got its place. But if it doesn't, then it's simply annoying. And Paul tells us here that love is never rude, it's never jealous, it isn't boastful or arrogant, it isn't irritable, it doesn't keep records, it isn't unjust. Now, I've done many, many weddings, and every time when we look at this, I've only had two weddings after we've gone through 1 Corinthians 13 where they still wanted me to read it at their wedding because of the, again, all the sentimentality leaves. And these things, being rude and jealous and boastful and arrogant and irritable, it derails us, right? It takes us out of our rhythm. It takes us out of step with others, and it causes friction where there doesn't necessarily need to be any friction, and that absence of love does nothing to benefit us or others at all. For Paul, he tells us here that love is patient. It's kind. It's happy in the truth. It puts up with all things, trusts and hopes and endures. Love never fails, Paul tells us. And again, that's because God is love, and God never fails. And this implies harmony with our brothers and sisters in Christ. It implies that we are together and we are working together to do the things that we have been called to do as a people. And this is love at its most basic. Now, there are many different types of people, but there are two main extremes when it comes to people. There's those that maybe they're a little uptight. They're always doing something, and they're moving and going and never stopping, right? You know those type of people? Right? They're always going. And that's hard to keep up with, right? Can I get an amen on that one? Did I wake some of you up? I'm sorry. Those people are a little difficult to keep up with. And then you go to the other extreme, and there are those people that are extremely laid back. Some might call them slow. Right? And they don't have any sense of any kind of speed whatsoever. And it's not even really a rhythm. It's just noise, right? Now, love, as we've said, calls us to be in line and in step with God. We need to find a rhythm that everyone can be a part of. That will imply some people slowing down, and it will imply some people maybe speeding up. And then we've got a nice, smooth rhythm to follow along with. And everyone can do this, right? This is your jam. I know it is. And we can follow along with this. This isn't too bad. All right? And we've got that rhythm. And everyone's going, and everyone is contributing to it. And again, some have slowed down. Others have had to speed up just a little. And it's not compromise. It's seeking the purpose, finding where God is, and going in that direction. And so everyone must change a little for us to find God's rhythm. I've had several people here tell me it must be hard to keep everyone happy. And I said, oh, no. My job isn't to keep anyone happy. My job is to make everyone just a little bit miserable. Because if I've done that, I've caused the fast people to slow down, the slow people to speed up, and everyone else to kind of change just a little so that we are all together on the same page, right? Because at the end of the day, that's where the harmony, that's where the unity, that's where love is going to flourish. And they're going to know that we're Christians by what? Our love. Paul knows that love, coupled then with faith and hope, is beautiful. It's rhythmic. It's part of who we are and part of who we have been called to be. And he says the greatest of these is love. And the answer, or the question then becomes, why is love the greatest? And the answer is quite simple. Love is the greatest because it's constant. Love is ever present. It never stops. It never fails. It's always there. Constant. Love is constantly there. Love continues to grow and to expand. It continues to permeate who we are. Faith then is important, but as we know, it's not as constant as love, is it? Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. But faith comes from deep within, and it's important that it's there. Right? And so when faith is there, it's deep. Hope then is quite fleeting. There are some people that just aren't hopeful, right? But there are those glimpses, there are those times when hope comes in. And when hope comes in, it begins to excite us, right? Because we begin to think of what could be. And hope, when it happens, it just kind of pops. There we go, right? And so faith, hope, and love exist in tandem so that we can find the rhythm. Now, faith or love is constant, but faith and hope have to be there in order for us to be in that dance, right? To do those things that we're called to do. All right? So faith, hope, and love bring us into the rhythm of God's kingdom, the now and the not yet. And when faith, hope, and love are existing in our lives, we are just in this wonderful rhythmic dance with our Creator. Today is Trinity Sunday, and as I've read different books on the Trinity, just a beautiful description of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. There are these three persons who are in perfect unity together, and they're calling us into that unity as well. And it's only in God's kingdom that we experience love in all of its fullness, right? That's where we see love at its fullest. In God's kingdom, love reigns, and it continues to grow. And it does so because in God's kingdom, faith has become sight. So we don't need faith anymore when we've entered God's kingdom. And our hope has been realized, and so we don't need hope anymore once we've entered God's kingdom. But love continues to grow. It continues to expand every second. Love is great because God is great. And faith and hope then stem from love, and they point us back to love, right? They help us to understand love as we are awaiting Christ's return. Earlier, we added our names into the passage, right? And now I want to enter God's name, and I want to remind us that God never fails. God never fails. God is patient. God is kind. He never fails, and he never fails us. He has never failed you, and he will never fail you. As we seek to find our place in the body of Christ, may we be reminded that we don't do this alone, but we do this in community with each other through Christ. So as hope turns to reality, as faith becomes sight, love is perfected and made whole. And when love is perfected, God's kingdom ushers into our lives the rhythm of God's unchanging grace. And we are called to the dance. We have the opportunity to participate and to make extraordinary things happen. And that is what love calls us to. That is who God is, and that is who we should be. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for this day, for your great love and grace in our midst. Lord, for faith and hope that rekindle in us that love and help us to see that love in those moments where it seems so far away. We pray that you would guide us, that you would lead us, that you would continue to make us whole so that we might be for the world your body, serving those who are in need. We love you, we thank you, we praise you, and we ask all of these things in the name of God our Father, Christ the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.